This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North. Thanks so much for tuning in. It's been routine for years in this country that newborn babies are screened for a variety of diseases and conditions shortly after they're born. But an investigative series concluding today in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel learned that the way those screening tests are handled is anything but routine. The series found delays in the process that have led to serious medical issues and even deaths in some infants from conditions that could have been successfully treated if they'd been caught early. The stories also pointed to significant holes in the data that are available, making it difficult to quantify the problem in some states. Ellen Gabler is an investigative reporter for the Journal Sentinel, and she was the lead reporter for the series. She told Lake Effect's Mitch Tyke what led the paper to look into screening test delays in the first place.
Well, one of our reporters, Mark Johnson, heard about a child in Wisconsin whose test had been delayed, and the child had gotten extremely sick. The baby had a condition that, if caught early, could be easily treated with a simple diet of sugar water, essentially.
Well, and so that got you thinking, maybe this isn't the only time this has happened. I wonder how many times it has happened.
Well, what happened was we started looking around, and we saw that on the websites of many state public health labs, there was a warning to quickly send these samples in. So several of the websites said, do not batch samples, and that means don't hold them and wait and send them in groups. And so when we saw that, we saw it, you know, in Arizona, we saw it in Texas, we saw it in all these different – on these different websites, and we thought, if they're giving that much of a warning, there could be something going on.
This is really the case of we really have no idea if this is a big problem. Let's take a look at it.
Exactly. And one of the things that I do in my job as an investigative reporter is data analysis. And so this was a really good opportunity to use data to figure out what's actually going on.
Well, before we get to how you crunch the data, tell us about how newborn screening works. People who have had a baby in recent years are probably familiar with the quick blood test. It is a heel prick. But what happens then?
Well, so newborn screening is amazing, actually. So almost every child born in the entire country is tested for these genetic disorders shortly after birth. They, as you said, they prick the baby's heels. They take the blood sample and they send it to the lab. They're supposed to send the blood sample to the lab within 24 hours of collection. The whole way that newborn screening works is the state lab does the testing quickly, or they're supposed to, and then they contact the doctor. And so if the child has one of these genetic disorders, they can be treated quickly.
And is it national guidelines for how the testing should play out, or does each state have its own guidelines?
Well, that's where it gets a little bit complicated. There's no set standard that has to happen. There are recommendations. In some states, there are regulations about how quickly the tests have to be sent. Some states have actual regulations that say you must send this test within 24 hours of collection. However, what we found is that's often not followed.
And often these are very rare conditions that they're testing for.
Individually, these conditions are rare, but collectively there are many of them. About one in every 800 children is born with a potentially severe or deadly condition that can be treated and managed if the child is properly tested.
Well, so then explain how you set up this story, what you set out to measure.
We wanted to see how many tests were being delayed, and we wanted to look at the entire country. So what we did, we spoke with experts. I spoke with state labs and asked, you know, how they track this. And what I ended up requesting testing data from every single state in the country and the District of Columbia. And it was very interesting because at first, all of the labs were very hesitant to give us anything. You know, we certainly weren't asking for any identifying information. This was just basic data that would allow me to get a sense of what the delays were in from when the hospital collected the sample to when it arrived at the lab. But the state labs were very hesitant to release it.
And in the end, you looked at how many hospitals, I guess it was, took two or fewer days to have these samples tested, and how many took more than 5 days?
One of the interesting things about this story was the labs don't keep their data in any standard way. And so what we had to determine was, how can we look at this in as standard a way as possible? And when I spoke with lab directors, many of them said what they considered was a late or delayed sample was anything 5 days or after. Federal recommendations actually say that samples should take no longer than 3 days, but we use 5 days in most cases.
Right. There are a number of infants whose stories you tell, and they're really heartbreaking stories, where after 3 days, it became a real issue.
Yes, some of these children get extremely sick within a couple days of birth. We have a story coming out today that reporter John Fauber wrote, where a child born in Colorado actually died the day before his newborn screening results came back.
And in fact, there's a comparison, I guess, to another child who had the same issue, whose test was done in an efficient manner and is fine.
Exactly. And those children have a condition where their blood sugar can basically drop. And if the parent doesn't know that the child has this condition, the child can just die. If they do know, however, it's pretty easy to treat this condition. They just regularly feed the child. And so, you know, they wake them up every 2 hours and feed them. And that can be the matter of life or death.
What were the most common reasons that you found for delays?
There's a lot of reasons why samples are delayed. Probably the first is that the hospitals just weren't paying attention to either the regulations in their state or the recommendations. Like I said, some states have actual state regulations that say you must send these samples within 24 hours, but a lot of hospitals just didn't do it.
You mentioned the idea of batching. Was that a fairly common issue?
Yes. And what's interesting about that is so many of these state public health labs and health departments tell hospitals, do not batch. They have warnings that say this can lead to irreversible damage or death in infants. But still, some hospitals are doing it anyway.
Oh, and another issue that you write about that seemed amazing on its face was that many labs just weren't open on the weekends.
Yes, about half the labs in the country are closed on the weekends. And so that means that if a child is born later in the week, their test will not be tested as quickly. And again, you know, a matter of days is really – a matter of hours, actually, can be very crucial.
What about the cost of getting samples to the labs for testing?
So it's different in every state. Some states, again, require that samples are sent by courier or overnight mail. In some states, the state lab pays for that service. In some states, the hospitals have to pay for it themselves. We actually found some cases where even when the state pays for the courier service – hospitals were still sending the samples through the U.S. mail.
You write that as you crunched the numbers, your numbers actually for how prevalent this was nationwide were actually a bit conservative.
Yes, that goes back to this issue of there not being any real federal standard that all states adhere to. Like I said, federal recommendations say these samples should take no longer than 3 days to get to the state lab. We had to actually use 5 days as our standard. That was because of the way that a lot of the data was provided to us. You know, I think I mentioned this, but we really did have a very difficult time getting this information from a lot of states. In fact, we still haven't gotten it from 24 states. But in some cases, they would only provide it in, you know, 5 days or longer or 6 days or longer. So we tried to find the most common metric to measure all the states by.
Were there examples of hospitals or states that recognized a problem and actually did something about it?
Definitely. A lot of hospitals do a great job with newborn screening. And, you know, there are several states, too, that do a pretty good job. Iowa in particular. They have a very sophisticated – and actually, it's not even that sophisticated. It's just very well run. Their system is very well run.
As you did the reporting for this piece, was it evident that this issue, the issue of delays in newborn screening, was on anyone's radar screen but yours?
Some advocacy groups had said that this was a problem. This was something they were concerned about. What was interesting was I don't think anybody had really ever tried to figure out how big of a problem it was. And as we got farther and farther along in the reporting, I realized that some of the labs had never even done this analysis. So many of these labs didn't even know what particular hospitals were a problem, and they didn't know how big the problem was in their own state. Arizona is one in particular. They're going to be having a statewide training for all of their hospitals to remind them how to properly handle newborn screening samples. It was actually kind of the same story here in Wisconsin and Texas and others.
Well, let's talk about Wisconsin because it's an interesting study. First of all, you report it was the last of the states that actually allowed you access to data. What were the state's reasons for keeping the lid on the results?
We requested this data from the Wisconsin State Lab of Hygiene in June, and it got released to us about a week and a half ago. They initially said they didn't want to release the information because it was adversarial to the hospitals. And if you go online, you can see we list hospital by hospital, you know, the track record of individual hospitals. And they felt that that information was, first of all, adversarial, and secondly, that the public wouldn't understand necessarily that not every late sample means a child is being harmed. And that is true. You know, it only matters if your child has one of the conditions, but you just don't know if your child has the condition.
Well, and that's a good point. I mean, is there any way to know for sure how many of these delays resulted in harm to children?
There is not. And part of that is because we can't get the names of the children who were tested, and we can't get the outcome of the test, which would be a clear violation of privacy. So we focused on the information that, you know, would not violate anybody's privacy.
But one of the things that struck me as interesting was the hospitals themselves seemed to sing a different tune when you brought this data to them.
Exactly. Many of the hospitals we contacted after the information was released said that they had no idea of their performance. And they were actually, they told us they were very grateful that we brought this to their attention. Aurora Healthcare, in effect, you know, made changes right away. Their courier had not been delivering newborn screening samples to the state lab on Saturdays. And so as soon as we notified them about this, they said, look, we're looking into this problem. We're going to explore it further, but right away we're going to make this change and we're going to deliver samples on Saturdays.
Well, and Wisconsin's lab is open Monday through Saturday. Is that right?
That's correct.
Talk about how Wisconsin fares versus other states.
Wisconsin's record overall is pretty good compared to a lot of states, but pretty good in a lot of cases isn't good enough, especially if your child is the one who has a condition and that condition was missed because a test was delayed. And again, you know, it varies a lot among hospitals. And so you can, go online and kind of explore the data yourself, but some hospitals do a great job and then others don't.
For people that want to take this a step further, what are the kinds of interactive features that they can take advantage of?
We wanted to make sure that people could get as much information as possible. And in an issue like this, it's important that the information is available to the public. And so we did a couple different things. We have a site where you can see the differences in all the state labs in the country. So you can see if your lab is open on the weekends or closed on the weekends. You can see what the shipping requirements are. Again, like I said, some states require a courier. Some just let hospitals mail the samples in through the U.S. mail. And then for each state, you can see whether or not your state released the data or if they didn't release the data. If they didn't release the data, we have contact information where you can contact important public health officials in that state to urge them to release the data. And then in states where we did receive the information, you can search by hospitals and explore which hospitals have a good track record and which could use some work.
Ellen Gabler, thanks so much for sharing the story with us.
Thanks for having me.
Ellen Gabler is a reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and the lead reporter on the paper's series Deadly Delays, which wraps up in today's edition of the paper. The two other reporters on the series were Mark Johnson and John Fauber. Gabler spoke with Lake Effect's Mitch Teich, and you can find a link to the full series and interactive features that accompany it at wuwm.com/lakeeffect. One of the defining speeches in American history was delivered 150 years ago today. We'll learn more about the Gettysburg Address when Lake Effect returns on WUWM.